Welcome to The Toolbox with our hosts, Joe Mangi and
The Raven.
Buckle up and get ready. You're not going to want to miss a single second of this.
You're now tuned in to 97.7 WVFF. This is The Toolbox. I'm your host, Joe Mangi, with my other host, The Raven. How are you doing today?
Hey, everybody.
Well, today I figured we'd start off with some news, some automotive news from July 2024. So Chevy just announced the 2025 Chevrolet Corvette ZR1. It's coming with twin turbo V8, supposedly over 1,000 horsepower, which is bananas. I really wasn't expecting that. And also, since EV cars are the new thing, the Lucid Air did 1,000 miles in 36 hours, which is good, I guess. I do
Wait,
have a
it
note.
Went 1,000 miles, like, in one go?
No, I think it took them 36 hours.
To do 1,000 miles.
I do have a note. The current Cannonball Run record is 25 hours and 40 minutes. And that was driving a 2016 Audi from New York to L.A. Distance over 2,800 miles. So
gas-powered cars are still better than battery-powered.
A little bit. They're trying. But, yeah, so today's episode is about vehicle appreciation and depreciation. You know, sometimes you get a used car for cheap and you turn around and sell it a few years later. Sometimes you make money. Sometimes you lose money. So we just got, you know, a couple lists. The Raven made a list and I made a list on just some random vehicles with their prices. I'll let you start off.
Okay, so I went with some pretty basic cars for the main point. First pick was a Ford Model T, because I knew, you know, back in the day that was the first car, and, you know, it was everywhere. Apparently, I didn't know this, though, they made over 15 million of them.
How come I don't have one?
Well, my thinking was, is like, that seems like an outrageous number of vehicles, but there's only a few thousand left today. Like, and they don't have a complete record of this because, you know, you can't keep track of every one of them, but the ones they do have account for, there's only a few thousand.
So one thing about the old Fords, apparently back in the day, Henry Ford, they didn't have an accountant, and they would weigh the invoices, and they would... Somehow that's how they would come up with their finances, is they would just pick, like, a random amount of invoices and weigh them. And they'd be like, okay, so we made roughly this amount.
Wait, what was written on the invoice if they weren't using it for its purpose? Because normally when you have an invoice, it says the, you know, what you spent and what you made. That's the purpose of having the invoice.
I guess, like, they were just guessing.
Instead of reading what they wrote, they were just like, nah. You're just going to put it on this thing and go off of that.
Why would we read when we got these cool scales?
said every businessman ever. But apparently, so back in the day when they were first made, in 1908, when first coming out with these, they hadn't invented the assembly line yet. You know, they were still doing them one by one. They were worth around $850. By 1925, they had the assembly line figured out. They knew what they were doing, and the car value went to $260.
So
imagine being the first person, though. But imagine you're the first one in line to buy this car. You spent $850, and then a couple years later, only two decades later, now the car is worth not even $300. Like, wow. But because they're so rare nowadays, they can go anywhere. Starting price is $20,000, and it can go anywhere up to $50,000, depending on historical significance, how rare the model is, you know, restorations. You could get literally up to $50,000 for a one Model T.
Man.
Like, talk about a price hike.
Yeah, I've always wanted a Model T. I don't know why.
It's just a cool classic, you know. It's fun to look at.
But man, so you did Model T. Mm-hmm. I did the 1999 BMW M3. So
I wouldn't have even thought of that one.
I don't even know where I came up with 99. I think I just typed in BMW M3.
Oh, okay.
Because yeah, it's mainly they're a four-door sedan. I think they might have made a couple two doors. I might be wrong. Yeah. I'm not a BMW expert, but 99 M3, original MSRP, $41,000. Now they're selling, I've seen a couple on Bring a Trailer, up to $52,000 for 25-year-old BMW.
Dang.
But that's the M3. I should have Googled just the standard 3 Series.
Yeah.
Because I know you can get those really cheap, like under $2,000 for a run and driving one. Or at least a few years ago before the used market went crazy.
Yeah. The next one I picked was a Chevrolet Fleet Line. And that was ranged, when they first came out on market, that was between $800 and $1,000. And that was between 1941 and 1952. In today's value, this was like a super popular car right after World War II. So this is just after we had the war. This is like, you know, everybody's coming back home from overseas.
Didn't make cars for civilians, the whole duration.
Yeah, no, the entire time they didn't have it because, you know, they were doing the scrap metal and trying to, you know, save up all materials that they could. So all of a sudden they get this flood of soldiers coming back over, and there was all of a sudden this new hype for vehicles. Everybody wanted a new car. Everybody was asking for one. So this was a car that was easy for them to turn out. Back when they were first doing it, it was a car that was... you know, it was modern styled for the period. It was very affordable for the post-war boom. Available, and, you know, it was just wide appeal. It was something, and also it was a car that was introduced with the most customizable options for a buyer.
Huh.
They could customize, you know, the dash, the seats, interior, you know, that was most wide availability that they had. Nowadays, finding one that's, you know, still in good condition, still having all the pieces to it, it can go upwards of $50,000 for one.
Jeez.
A car that used to be worth only $800.
Man.
Yeah.
Next one on my list, I got 1969 or 1970. They're all kind of the same. Mm-hmm. But Plymouth Superbird. So these cars were made pretty much just to race in NASCAR, but NASCAR had rules back in the day. They had to be production vehicles. So what Plymouth did, well, it was mainly Dodge, but I ended up doing the Superbird just because it's a little bit more odd. Mm-hmm. So in the 70s, dealerships, they couldn't get rid of them. No one wanted to buy them. They had this big cone on the front, this huge wing on the back. No one wanted them.
No, and I think I ended up doing the same car you did.
Plymouth. Really?
Yeah, because it says they only made a total of 2,458 of them.
Maybe.
And I found that was a very oddly specific number for Plymouth. And come to find out, that's probably why.
Yeah, so these, the original MSRP was $4,300. And that's about $30,000 today. And even like a base model, not even a Superbird, just, you know, a Plymouth with a Hemi from that generation for $30,000 is good luck. You can't even get a broken one.
Yeah.
You know. But nowadays, the average Superbird price, $233,000. There's been some over $1 million, and there has been some down around, you know, 150, lower $200,000, but the average, $233,000. And they couldn't get rid of them back in the day. Dealerships didn't want them.
Yeah.
But
cars that they were tossing out, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't sell them, so they're eventually just moved off the lot. And then nowadays, you know, everybody wants one. Everyone wants the cool old classic that you can't find anymore.
Yeah, and like Google and stuff like that, like you could find these things in the junkyard. It's not often because they were a rare car, but there's pictures out there.
Dang.
Yes.
Okay. so then the car that I picked next was a Buick Roadmaster. I'm going to be honest, I have no idea what this even looks like.
I think it's a big old wagon.
Is it?
I know the last Roadmasters were like the last of the wagons.
Okay. Okay, because that would make sense because then they had, it was like oddly specific when I was trying to look up, you know, how many they made back in the day. Is it that they made anywhere from 390,000 of these, but only 54,000 of them were four-door editions.
Oh, okay.
The rest of them were two-door coupe, apparently.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I had no idea. But today, all together, out of the about 400,000 that they had back in the day, only roughly 162,000 are possibly left. Again, they can't keep track of every single one over the time of history, but what they think is left. And when it was first being mass-produced, it was roughly $1,200. And now they're worth anywhere from $30,000, depending on, you know, if it's remodeled, you know, or how they took care of it over time, and, you know, but
that's restored. That's the word. I forgot about
restored.
It, too. It was right on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, at a restored, like, top restored price, it starts at $30,000 and
goes up from there. So, the next one I did is a 1986 Dodge Omni GLHS. So, these cars, they were just little Econo boxes. But the GLHS was modified by Shelby. That Shelby. Carroll Shelby. And the GLHS stands for, now you might need to bleep this. It actually stands for goes like hell some more.
What?
S'more. S-M-O-R-E.
See,
is the actual name.
Why can't I get paid to name things?
Right?
Like, somebody, that was someone's job to name that, and that's what they picked.
I read that the guy who named the movie Cars got paid over $100,000 for that.
Seriously?
I'm in the wrong business.
Like, for real. It's like, what do you want to name this movie about vehicles? About cars?
Sold. You did it again. So the 86 Dodge Omni GLHS, the price on those were $11,000. I couldn't find if that was adjusted for inflation. I think that's just the 1986 price.
Yeah.
But nowadays, you know, it's 86. Nowadays, the top sale price for one of those is $46,000. And those cars were pretty controversial back in the day because Shelby, you know, from the get-go, really only did Fords.
Yeah.
But Dodge Omni. And they were front-wheel drive, little four-cylinder cars. So no one really liked them. But the people who got them, they really liked them. I think they're cool.
Yeah.
They're just like, and they all came in black for some reason. And they were just these little cubes that went really fast.
Black is the best color.
Well, yeah, but
it's the happiest color.
Yeah, but in the 80s, everything was beige. You could only get brown or brown.
Tan.
I'd
rather have black than a different shade of sand.
Sun-kissed orange.
It's brown! So for my next car, I picked a Hudson Super 6. Now, I meant to ask, is that any relation to Hudson Hornet, or is that a completely different car?
I think that's a completely different car. Well, I'm pretty sure they had a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah.
Because Hudson's, especially being a smaller manufacturer, a lot of them shared parts.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about car. Like, I barely know anything, but
Because yeah. I was surprised, because I think a Hudson Hornet is a super cool car, and I thought they'd be, like, super valuable. But this Hudson Super 6, so back in the day when they first started producing it, it was only worth about $1,700, which isn't bad. But today's value, it's only roughly worth $27,000.
Really?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken... No,
and I thought a Hudson would be a little more valuable than that because they don't produce those anymore, right?
No, I haven't made them in a long, long time.
Yeah,
and that's
so I
the
thought
thing.
Regardless of model, all Hudsons would be expensive.
Well, for some reason, like a lot of manufacturers, like if they go out of business, those cars really don't appreciate in value. Like AMCs?
Yeah.
AMC, they went out, what, in the 70s, 80s? I think in the early 80s they went out of business. AMC cars made some great ones, and they're really... If you compare the same, like the equivalent to like a modern, you know, well not a modern, but if you compare like an AMC Javelin to a Chevy Camaro,
yeah.
Which they were like head to head back in the day, the Camaro's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times the price as a Javelin, and they were both V8, two-door coupes, they both race, like...
So basically label's the only difference.
Well, I mean... I don't know about all that. But brand-wise, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But my next vehicle, 1979 Ford Bronco, freewheeling edition. This kit came with stripes, and that's it. So
that's what made it special.
Yeah. So the freewheeling edition, in the late 70s, you know, the... They had the fuel crisis, and, like, they get rid of all the fast cars. Mm-hmm. So you get cool stripes, and that was the freewheeling pack. And granted, these things are sick. The freewheelings, most of them were black, and they had, like, I don't even know how many different colors these stripes were, but they were, like, orange, red, all down the side of them. But the original price...
I know what... Which one you're talking about now, they normally had the awful, ugly brown color, and then it'd be like a crazy bright stripe down the side of it for whatever reason.
So these ones, you're onto something with that.
Okay.
Those might have been freewheelings. These ones, most of the Broncos, which these are really rare, not a lot of them survived. These ones were mainly black with like yellow, I think maybe purple too. It was like some crazy 70s stripes down the side. But MSRP... Adjusting for inflation, $29,500, 1979. They're now selling for as much as $100,000. They're super rare, and some really cool people are putting these stripes on the new Broncos, which I think Ford might actually have a freewheeling stripe kit now. Whatever that means. Maybe they just hand you some stripes.
I was about to say, is it like a big sticker like the Mustangs? And you just slap it on there?
The King Cobras with 150 horsepower.
The stripes make it go faster.
They do. They do. They got to.
So for my next car, I picked an Oldsmobile Series 70. I have no idea.
Sounds like a cigarette car.
I mean, I don't know if that's important. You know, was there a Series 69 or was it only 70?
I don't know.
Car is pretty weird back in the day.
I've never trusted anyone with an Oldsmobile. Never in my life. If I've seen an Oldsmobile, I'm like, I don't know about this guy. I'm not turning my back on this guy.
Oh, my God. You make it sound like super sketchy.
Hey, next time you see an Oldsmobile in the wild, keep an eye on them.
Well, back in the day, they were only worth roughly around $800. Just get them super cheap. And today, they're not too bad and expensive. You can get one for roughly around $15,900. Just not many of them survived passage of time.
Yeah. And that's another Oldsmobile. I don't know what's up with, like, companies going out of business. And, you know, they're not making any new ones.
Yeah.
But the old ones really don't appreciate in value.
Yeah. You know, they're not costing an arm and a leg for something.
See, the next one I got, very appreciated. Everyone loves these. Mm-hmm. 1971 Ford Pinto. Very controversial. Known for exploding. So, the original MSRP on those, $1,900.
Yeah.
If anyone has a running Pinto for $1,900, let me know. Let me know. I'm hopping on it. So, that 1900 and 1971, that's around $15,000, mm-hmm. adjusted for inflation. Looked on Bring a Trailer, because that's where, like, all the weird stuff sells for.
Yeah.
So, Bring a Trailer, they had a cruising wagon, which is the coolest version of the Pinto. It's like this two-door wagon with no windows in the back. It just had, like, this porthole window from the factory.
Yeah.
One of those sold for... Oh, where did I write it down? One of those sold in 2023 for $19,000. And, you know, you might be thinking that, you know, the cruising wagon is, like, the rare, cool one. In 2021, just a normal two-door hatch, the cheap one,
yeah.
sold for $17,000 on Bring a Trailer.
Now, are all these models exploding ones, or was it only the rare occasional one?
No, it was a huge thing. Apparently, it was huge. Like, if you get rear-ended in a Pinto, it would just... Explode. You'd be on fire.
Oh, wow.
And apparently they knew about it. But,
uh-huh.
Yeah. But they were like, oh, that's going to cost like $1 a car. Let them die.
Let them die.
Hey, it's... We should do an episode on that.
What, on killer dealerships?
No, but no.
Faulty cars knew about it and still like, eh, it's all right.
Yeah, we can do recalls.
Repopulate.
Yeah, because the government made them, like, recall them. And they still made a bunch of money, but...
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, they were like, man... If you get in an accident, you could die. And I'm like, well, just don't get in an accident then.
I mean, that's the way to do it.
Joe and the Raven will be back. More to come after these messages. And now, ladies and gents, more Toolbox with Joe and Raven.
So the next car I picked was a Packard Clipper.
Sounds like a football team.
It definitely sounds from the 40s and 50s.
Yes, but it was known as one of the top luxury cars back in the day, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, it was known as one of their high-end luxury cars and for having really great quality. Funny enough, though, I don't think I've ever seen one of these.
And that's another one. Like, when's the last time you seen a Packard?
Yeah.
The only time I see a Packard, I know someone who owns a Packard. That's the only time I've ever seen
one. And what's
crazy
is they didn't make a whole lot of these either. There's probably... the information I was able to find is that it was roughly recorded that about 22,000 were made back in the day. And there's possibly only 10,000 left.
Oof.
Again, so it's not... And, you know, and... Today's value, it was saying that started roughly $13,000.
Really?
Yeah, so it's not too expensive for a car that, you know, wasn't a whole lot weren't made to begin with.
Yeah, and English. They're fancy luxury cars from back in the day.
Yeah, and now more than half of them are gone, and yet it's still not super expensive. And back in the day's value, when they were first being mass-produced, they were only worth roughly $900.
Yeah.
Again, for a luxury vehicle. So it's crazy to know what they pick and choose to count as something, you know, high-end, top dollar, versus something that's like, oh, you know, this is nice, but still not a Jag.
That's a perfect forte into my next vehicle. So, you know, these have all been increasing in value.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured I'd toss in some vehicles that maybe haven't increased in value.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a 1998 Rolls-Royce Silver Spur. The original MSRP, $189,000.
Oh, yeah.
The most luxury, best, like, most top-end you could get in 98. And that's $189 in today's money.
Mm-hmm.
So, some of them are selling for $46,000.
Seriously?
Yes.
You're telling me I could get a Rolls-Royce cheaper than most freaking 4Runners.
So this one sold for $46,000 on Bring a Trailer, and it only had 9,000 miles on it. This thing's like brand new. So the average price, $19,000.
You are kidding me.
Yeah, for a 26-year-old Rolls Royce, $19,000, and it only lost $170,000 in value from new.
You kidding me?
Can't, like, just imagine, I wish I did the math on how much a day you were losing by buying one of those.
You kidding me? I'm gonna have one just riding around Walterboro.
Right? Like, $19,000. They sell used cars for more than that.
Yeah! Friggin', you can't get a single battery car for that cheap of a price.
Yeah, you're right about that. Pull up in the Rolls.
Let me see. I guarantee Rolls will keep going once the Tesla stops.
Well, you see that's the thing. You might need to recharge a Tesla a lot more often.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't think I would trust a 30-year-old Rolls. Or, I don't know. It's
even if you're stuck on the side of the road, you're still in the lap of luxury.
That is true. It's either...
You can sit back there with your cocktail glass that custom-made came with it in the back seat.
Yeah, with that, it's either going to break down every day or it's never going to break down ever. I'm not fancy enough to know.
Yeah.
I don't even think... I've never seen one.
I don't think I have either.
No. There was... This is kind of getting off topic, but there was a salvage yard up in Latson that had a Rolls-Royce limo parked outside that they were trying to get rid of. And I don't know if anyone bought it. I wanted the grill off it. If anyone has an old Rolls-Royce grill, let me know. And they don't want any money for it, I'll gladly take it.
If you're tossing it out.
Yeah, if someone's tossing out a Rolls-Royce grill, let me know. You oh, no. Oh,
one
no.
One piece at a time. You're so loud.
Okay. Page is flipped. You over here from the future.
Got my square electrical device.
That's Cammy's tablet.
Okay, I'm wondering. I thought I heard a keyboard.
It's crazy how good these these mics are. I almost said Macs. Talking about laptops.
So for my last car, and this was one I hadn't even thought of until you had started talking about it. I went for like super common, you know, everyday cars that, you know, just your average citizen could have gotten back in the day versus getting it now. But you pointed out a car that, you know, when someone hears about this, whether you're a car person or not, you know what they're talking about. And that's a Shelby Cobra.
Oh, yeah.
Like, regardless of if you're a car enthusiast or if you know absolutely nothing about them, when you hear the word Shelby, you know what people are talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And so in 1965, the Shelby Cobra prototype was roughly around $6,000. Today, that same car is worth $1,485,000.
Jeez.
The same car that was only worth $16,000 back in 1965.
Yeah.
And the Roadster is worth $198,000.
That's the most common ones.
And the SC replica is the cheapest at $63,000.
Yeah, for a replica. Not even the real deal.
Yeah, not even, you know, the original, like, and it's still $63,000. But you know how many were made?
No idea.
So, apparently they changed the chassis at some point, but right before they changed it over, only 528 of them were made.
Really?
And I wasn't able to find, you know, exactly how many were left over, but, like, goddamn. What are they doing with them?
Looking at them.
You gotta keep
them caged up because they're named after a snake.
Why? Like, if I was a multimillionaire and I'm like, I'm gonna go blow my money on a stupid expensive car simply because I can, I'm not gonna keep it in a room just to stare at it. You gotta take that thing for a test drive. You gotta go have some fun with it. Like, I will never understand, and I don't care how much money you got and what you spend it on, but there's no point in buying something nice, fancy, and fun if you ain't ever going to use it.
Well, you see, that's the thing. I don't think those Cobras are fancy or fun. I think they're just sketchy I would love to drive one. I would love to drive one, but that's just death.
It doesn't. Well,
the guaranteed death.
Don't buy it if you ain't going to drive it.
Yeah, yeah, you got a point.
Because honestly, you're going to take that thing out for at least one test drive before you stick it somewhere.
Take it to ice cream. Go get you an ice cream cone on a Friday night.
Exactly. You ain't even going to go. I'm not saying go take a world tour on it, but like, drive it down the block.
Yeah.
Backing up around the corner.
Get the fluid. Like, get those fluids fluid in.
Get those gears in motion.
Yeah. So going from cobras, this next one isn't as cool.
No. I mean, it's
kind of
hard to talk
a cobra. So the 2006 Volkswagen Phaeton. No one knows what a Phaeton is.
Phantom, but I've never heard of a Phaeton.
So a Phaeton, it looks like a Volkswagen Jetta.
Okay.
But the back doors are a little bit longer. It's like the Volkswagen equivalent to a Rolls. These are really cool. But like looking at them, it just looks like normal traffic.
Yeah.
So a 06 Phaeton, the MSRP, you know, they were selling for new, was equal to $120,000. And, you know, it's 06, but that's today's money, $120,000.
Yeah.
For 06 Phaeton. And Marketplace has one for sale for $15,000 now.
Really?
Yeah. But no, these things are cool. Like, the back seats, they got the shades that go up. I think they got massaging seats. Some of them came with the weird W engines, like the W8s, that are, like, really compact, and they have two banks of four cylinders each, and it's an eight cylinder. Yeah. Oh, it's magic.
That sounds bananas.
I don't know how Volkswagen did it, but they were like, you know what? Give me a V4, but do it again. And then they were like, oh, well, here you go. Doesn't make any sense, but here's your eight cylinder that's that big.
Yeah.
I, for all your listeners, it's that big.
If you need a visual, he was holding about yay apart.
Yeah, about that much. I don't know how big one of those blocks are. That'd be cool just to have. Just to have like a VR6 block or a W6 block.
Oh, not the car, just the motor.
Oh, and actually, okay, I'm sorry. The W8 is even weirder. So they had a VR6, which was in the front wheel drive Golfs and all, mm-hmm. and that was like the two banks.
Yeah.
And the W8 was the one they had. And of course, for all the audio listeners, it's like two V8s, but one shifted just a little bit, and it's really compact and weird. And I want one. I bet they sound amazing.
Yeah.
You get you a 06 Phaeton, cut the mufflers off.
You cut the muffler off of anything, no matter what.
Got to. I mean, on that. The other day,
you just make the neighbors even more.
Oh, speaking of terrible sounds. So the other day, I was in Charleston, and a first generation Prius drove by. No cats. It sounded like a derby car. It was so amazing. You could hear it from three blocks away. Just rumbling by.
Aww.
I don't know whose beige Prius that is, but it made my day. They did not look happy.
Being
driving
a Prius, it just sounds adorable. Oh, if they weren't happy about it, then
they were not enthused. They were not enthused.
Their cats were probably taken forcibly.
It probably didn't help that I was almost on my knees laughing.
For those of you who don't know what CATS means, it's catalytic converter.
Catalytic converter. It's a common thing for thieves to steal, and they are, how they work, they have to get hot, so they're really close to the engine, so whenever someone takes them, it sounds like garbage. If you ever hear like a super loud car, and it just looks like a normal car, someone probably stole the CATS.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact it was a hybrid made it like really, really funny to me.
Wasn't that a style for some kids, cutting those off to make their... It doesn't sound good or cool for any of you who get the ideas to think that.
Yeah, so the thing is, being in high school, the louder the vehicle, the cooler it is.
It's not.
But yeah, then the older you get, and you're like, oh my god, that's terrible.
It's obnoxious.
Yeah, it is obnoxious.
You might as well just scream down the road.
Everybody pretty much. Pretty much. All right, so my next one, the Lamborghini Gallardo. This is from my childhood. I remember when these things came out. They were so cool. So the starting price was $165,000. And these things were everywhere. I think for half of all Lamborghinis sold ever, like in the entire history of the company, half of them were Gallardos or Gallardos, however you pronounce it. I pronounce them Gallardos.
Gyros.
Yeah, the Gyros. So, an 08 Spider is for sale on AutoTrader for $99,000. That's only a $66,000 drop. I can't afford that, but...
No.
If anyone's in the market for a Gallardo Spider... I almost said Splider.
Spiders tend to be really cool, fancy cars. I've heard of a couple of spiders, and
I don't understand
why... They're always decked out sports cars.
And they're always convertibles. Why does spider mean convertible? What does that mean? Oh, you think it's because of the cloth? Like when the cloth over the skeleton of the roof kind of looks like a spider?
Spider legs.
I don't know how someone made that jump.
I'm
out. Oh, you're out?
I'm out.
Oh, okay. Okay, so my last one is brand new. You could go and get one brand new today if you wanted to. 2024 Cybertruck. The MSRP for the fancy one, $99,000. Brand new. There's a used one for sale for $150,000 right now. So, if you were smart enough to get one brand new, you could almost double your money. You make $50,000. But I have seen a lot of used ones that are going down in value. I think some are down to about $73,000. But I guess what happened is people were they were pre-ordering, and then the dealerships were getting them, and they were marking them up. So people are spending like $150,000, $200,000 for this brand new truck. But the prices are coming down. Unless you did the math like I did, and you can make $150,000. Or you can make $50,000 by just buying one. Somehow. I don't know how the math works. But yeah, that's all I had.
I was doing just a quick...
Oh, you were just doing a quick...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The GTO. The Ferrari GTO. Because that's the most expensive vehicle in the world, I think.
I don't like Ferraris. I don't like how Ferraris look, let me say it that way.
GTO is sick. It has like these like three scoop things.
They all have three scoop things. They all look like the cursive M with lump, 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 lump. Stick some windows in and paint it red. There's a Ferrari.
Yeah, but it's a Ferrari though.
Ferrari. It's cool. I get it. I get that it's cool. I get that it goes super fast. But for all the money they make, they couldn't make it look any cooler. They couldn't make it look better instead of just like...
That kind of reminds me of...
It's like they took a cool sports car and then they squished the top of it.
Have you heard the story of Lamborghini? And like why he went from making tractors to... sports cars?
Didn't he do it just to make a Ferrari mad?
Yeah, so he bought a Ferrari.
didn't they take it from him? Or he did something to it to modify it, and they were like, no, you can't do that. And he goes, well, I'm going to just build my own then.
Yeah, so he bought a Ferrari, and the clutch kept going out, and he had to keep bringing it to Ferrari.
Yeah.
And so before Lamborghini made sports cars, they made tractors in Italy.
Yeah.
And he made enough to buy a Ferrari.
Yeah.
And long story short, his clutch kept going out, and his cool Ferrari, I think it was a 250. It wasn't a 250 GTO, though, but I believe it was a 250.
Yeah.
And clutch kept going out, and he's like, man, I get mechanics. Like, so he brought it to his shop, and they modified a tractor clutch to fit.
Yeah.
And it never gave him a problem. And so he brought it back to Ferrari, and he's like, hey, like, I know you, this has been an issue with this car. Here's how I fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
And Enzo, who's a really friendly guy, was like, I'm not listening to you. Go sell more tractors. I'm not listening to some tractor boy.
Yeah.
And so, like, that made him mad. And he's like, you know what? We're making supercars now. And his first car.
So I guess I can say this, but that sounds pretty Italian.
Yeah. So he bought a Ferrari 250, and he got mad, and he made a Lamborghini 350 that was even faster.
Wasn't it not as expensive as a Ferrari as
well? It was something like that. Like,
yeah, so it's like he literally did everything to undercut
out of
him.
Spite.
Just to be like, well, look who's the hick now.
Yeah. Yeah. We could do an episode of just Enzo being mean.
We could do an episode of just Lamborghini and Ferrari going at each other for petty reasons. Just rich people being petty.
I think Enzo is the most pettiest.
Yeah.
He's the reason for that Ford versus Ferrari.
Yeah, I was about to say, didn't he make Shelby angry, or was it...
He made Hank the Deuce.
Yeah, he made
Hank
mad.
The Deuce mad. Yeah, what was it? They were going to buy Ferrari, and then he was like, nah, you make ugly cars in an ugly factory.
Yeah.
And then they're like, you know what? We're making... I think Enzo's responsible for... At least half of the crazy supercars.
Animosity.
Yeah, because that did the GT, and he made Lamborghini mad, I think.
What if that was just his way of getting, because whenever these other companies would then go and make another new supercar out of spite, wouldn't he also turn around a couple years later and make another fancier, faster Ferrari?
No, not necessarily, because he wouldn't pay him any mind.
Really?
Yeah, because everyone wants a Ferrari, because it's a Ferrari.
It's still an ugly car.
I don't know. It depends. I think the 250... We went way off topic. Yeah, so the 250 GTO...
I think it's an ugly car.
The 250 GTO, I think the highest, like, bid for one of those, or the highest sell, highest one sold was like, what was it, 22 million or something like that?
Just because it's a Ferrari.
Oh, no. Those are, like, only made for racing, and they're super rare. What was the MSRP on that thing? Oh, I thought you had it on your phone.
I do. It doesn't say nothing about MSRP. It says there were only 36 of these cars produced.
Boom, that's why they're millions of dollars. Here, I'm gonna Google.
Oh no, apparently they were all Enzo's Ferraris. they were his personal cars that he and then individually went and sold out to other people.
Oh, that doesn't make sense.
They were made for just for him. Yes, they were reportedly cared for by Enzo Ferrari himself.
So
how am I going to make this fancy car?
Ferrari.
I don't want anybody else to have it.
Ferrari only sells cars to pay for their race cars, and even Enzo said if you buy one of his cars, you're a dummy. Out of the man's mouth, he said that.
I would agree too. I don't think a Ferrari is a good-looking car. If you're going to get a super race car, go with the Shelby. Any Shelby.
I don't know. I'd take a 250 GTO over a Daytona Coupe. You call me crazy. Yeah, but Ferraris are red.
Crazy does.
Ferraris are red. And I like red.
See, that's just... This is biased.
How are we going to wrap this? How are we going to wrap this episode?
I don't know.
I didn't think of an outro. Thanks for tuning in to WVFF 97.7. This is Joe at the Toolbox. Thanks to my co-host, Raven.
Until next time, keep it cranking.
Make sure to change your oil.
We thank you for staying tuned to The Toolbox. If you missed it, not to worry. You can always find it over on WVFFradio.com. Thanks for staying tuned to Veterans for Freedom Radio, 97.7 FM, The Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.